Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to go further into verse 11 to look at the three Old Testament people that Jude was comparing the heretics with. So let's read Jude verse 11 together. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, on the last broadcast, we saw that what Korah rebelled against was the divine authority that God had given Moses. So Korah rebelled against biblical order and biblical authority. Jude tells us here that this concept of defying biblical authority and order will be one of the profiles of the heretics personally and will be included in what they teach. Now, in his book, A Generous Orthodoxy, Brian McLaren speaks of the rebellion of Korah in the modern church. McLaren is one of the leaders of the so-called emerging church movement, which is determined to undermine biblical authority and absolute truth and to transform the Church of Jesus into a social club. McLaren tells us that what is wrong with the church is authoritative preaching out of an authoritative book by a man standing behind a pulpit in authority in the house of God, unquote. McLaren would like to end preaching as we know it and replace it with what he calls sharing, instead of a man standing behind a pulpit declaring the Word of God in an authoritative manner. McLaren wants to see the pulpits of our churches thrown out and replaced with bar stools. The pastor in McLaren's world would be replaced with a facilitator who wouldn't have any divine authority at all, but would simply moderate the sharing meeting. Preaching would be done away with in McLaren's church, and people would simply be able to give what he calls life lessons, which are anecdotes and personal experiences. And as each one shares his own personal view of God and his own slant on divine truth, the moderator would simply be there to keep the meeting flowing. In this new emergent church, no one would be convicted of sin, no one would feel guilty because of their transgressions, no one would have any need to repent, and thus no one could ever be saved. The glorious power that is in the blood of Jesus would be replaced with a change of thinking. Salvation would become, quote, proper mental health, unquote. The divine nature would become, quote, healthy psychology, unquote. And heaven would become health, wealth, and prosperity here on the earth. But the main thrust of McLaren's book and the main thrust of the entire emergent church movement, as well as the so-called seeker-sensitive movement, is to do away with the authority of the Word of God. In their view, preaching is not the means to deliver the gospel so that sinful man can be convicted and saved. No, in their view, biblical preaching is the problem. To these people, Bible study is not the means by which people come to learn what God has revealed about himself and us and salvation and holiness. McLaren says that the Bible study causes people to feel bad. It causes them to feel guilty. It weighs them down with outdated hang-ups and facilitates bad things like guilt, sorrow, and leads to a very ugly word, repentance. Now, of course, McLaren and the entire emergent church movement, as well as the seeker-sensitive church, is nothing new. It is simply nothing more than old-fashioned spiritual liberalism. But what we can see in their attack against Scripture is the fulfillment of what Jude cautions us to watch out for, the rebellion of Korah. We live in a time where it is very difficult to find a place where the Word of God is honored, studied, loved, and obeyed on an ongoing basis. All around us, churches are canceling Bible studies and replacing them with yoga classes and weight loss seminars, and far too many are willing to study the latest book by a popular author than they are to actually study the Bible itself. A recent phenomenon is where church after church and pastor after pastor are capitulating to the normalization of sexual perversion and the acceptance of homosexual marriage in the house of God, all for the sake of staying in the good graces of unsaved and lukewarm people at the expense of staying in right standing with God. But this is a tragic mistake. This minimization of the importance of the word is hurting us all very badly, and the lack of serious discussions about deep spiritual matters is appalling. For example, when is the last time that a scripture troubled you so deeply that you began to study what it means? When is the last time that you lost sleep over the fact that the Bible condemned something that you are engaged in? When is the last time that you radically altered your life based upon something that you discovered in God's Word? And when is the last time when your children came to show you what they have been studying in God's Word? The average church member today has no idea what he believes or why he believes it. We have become content to sub out what we believe to the pastor, and that is why so many in the church are so naive and gullible when it comes to false teaching. Sound doctrine and biblical truth is the last thing on most people's minds, but that didn't used to be. It used to be that people didn't fall for snake oil salesmen because they knew they were hucksters and because they had been in God's Word and they exercised spiritual discernment. It used to be that every church had classes in theology and doctrine, and they taught important matters that God inspired men to pin down in Scripture. The reason that the Jehovah's Witnesses are growing by double digits every year is because people really don't know and haven't been taught about what the Bible says about the person of Jesus Christ. The reason that the Mormon Church is exploding in growth is precisely because the average church member has never been subjected to a line-upon-line study of the character and nature of God, and they honestly believe that Mormons are our brothers and sisters in Christ. The reason that people are willing to pray to dead people and to ask Mary to bring them to Jesus is precisely because they do not know what the Bible teaches about either prayer or salvation. And the reason that millions of people are working very hard trying to earn God's favor and trying to earn their salvation is precisely because no one has ever taught them what the Bible says about grace. Korah rebelled against God's authority, and today we have legions of people who do the very same thing. They are perfectly willing to serve God, but only on their own terms. These people will not submit to anybody's authority, and they do not feel obligated to answer to anyone, and so they are a law unto themselves. Now, America celebrates rugged individualism as a virtue, but we must know that the Bible condemns it as rebellion. When a person is saved, he is bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that point, he is now a bond slave of the Lord Jesus. God then takes that saved soul and adopts him into the family of Jesus Christ as it pleases God. And then God requires of that individual and makes demands upon his life. There is no such thing as doing your own thing in Jesus Christ, dear friends. There is no such thing as worshiping or serving or studying or living on God for God on your own terms and in your own way in true Christianity. Acting like that is not liberty, beloved. It is spiritual anarchy. It is rebellion. The name of the game in genuine biblical Christianity is submission and conformity, not individualism. Every blood-bought saint of God is commanded to submit to Christ and the leadership that God has placed over the church. And we are all commanded to conform, to be molded and shaped and formed into the image and likeness of our Lord and Savior. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:12-14 that says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Hebrews 13:7-17 says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Thomas Manton, the Puritan theologian of the 17th century, wrote this about the rebellion of Korah in his commentary on Jude. Quote, "The idea that everyone should be equal is no new thing in God's church. Korah said to Moses, 'Is it not enough that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in the wilderness, but you would also lord it over us?'" Numbers 16:13. Manton went on to say, quote, "This is like saying all the Lord's people are holy, so why should anybody be set over us? Let us beware of the parity that some people desire. There must be rule and superiority, or all will come to nothing. God made the world of both hills and valleys, and in the church and state there must be both governors and the governed, teachers and the taught. It is Korah's sin to invade offices without a call and to destroy the holy order that God has established," unquote. Now, beloved, those who have heard this broadcast or who know me know that I have preached long and hard that men who stand behind the pulpit should be men of godly integrity and worthy to follow and emulate. But what is good for the goose is good for the gander. And the Bible is clear that not only does God make demands of his ministers, he also makes demands of the individual members of the church as well. And the people of God are commanded in the New Testament to submit to spiritual authority, and they are commanded to obey and to honor and to listen to and to follow and to emulate those who have or who bear spiritual rule over them. That is exactly what the Bible teaches. And any attempt to change this dynamic and any attempt to alter this godly order is not a new revelation of freedom, but is in fact a modern-day manifestation of the very same rebellion of Korah that God destroyed. So, if you are saved and you are staying home and you are not actively engaged in a church, know this. You are in rebellion to the Word of God and you are operating outside of the authority of Scripture. If you are going to church but yet are not submitted to the authority of that church, then you are in rebellion to the Word of God and are operating in opposition to the Scriptures. The Bible is clear. There is no such thing as going it alone. God does not operate through individual people who are not joined to the body and who are operating outside of spiritual oversight and who are not submitted to spiritual authority. Refusing to submit to authority is not freedom, dear friends. It is anarchy, and it is the rebellion of Korah. And rest assured that God does not use renegades. God does not use spiritual mercenaries. God does not use people who are so rebellious that they are going it alone, doing God's business in their own way. The fact of the matter is that everyone is not created equal. The Declaration of Independence says that God made all men equal, but the Bible does not teach that. God has different gifts to different people and uses men differently and not the same. And God has created a holy order in his church that should be honored and followed. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12:28 through 31. "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." So we can see that it is not God's Spirit that leads us to act with individualism and not conformity in the house of God. It is our own corrupt and rebellious and fallen nature that causes us to do that. God's Word says that individualism in the church is a sin. We do not have the license to go it alone. We do not have the license to rebel against the clear teaching of Scripture about biblical authority. And Jude promises here that to do so will lead to destruction. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.